Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Henry Louis Gates is standing by. We're going to talk about his amazing PBS series and a couple of other things. But first, a reminder that it is our winter membership drive, day two for the year 2010, and a membership drive cannot take a snow day. So we hope everyone will make a donation to support WNYC for this year. While you're snowed in and listening right now, we will talk about how more later in the hour. I do want to remind you that this is the last hour that the MacBook Pro giveaway is still going. If you get in touch by noon to make a pledge, and you don't have to make a pledge to enter the contest, but of course we hope you will. If you do it by noon, then you are automatically entered to win a MacBook Pro, which is Apple's newest laptop, which will go to one lucky winner. But please support the radio station. We ask for full participation now more than ever in these economic times. And thanks in advance to the Brian Lehrer Show audience for your full participation in 2010. One pledge each to keep us alive and strong. And snowstorm or not, we've got to pay the bills. So thanks a lot for calling 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or pledge online at WNYC.org. And do it this hour if you're going to support us anyway, because you'll automatically be entered to win that MacBook Pro, Apple's newest laptop. Thanks, everybody. Have you been watching the PBS series Faces of America with Henry Louis Gates, tracing the genealogy of celebrities? This week's episode included Meryl Streep, Yo-Yo Ma, Louise Erdrich, Stephen Colbert, and Eva Longoria, but I've decided that the whole celebrity thing is a trick to get Americans to learn a little history. Here is Stephen Colbert from this week's show before we bring on Dr. Gates, just after learning that he had some German roots to go with his Irish ones that trace back to the 17th century German immigrants to this country who were apparently looked at with complete suspicion by settlers from England. The beginning of this is Colbert reading something by Benjamin Franklin.
Why would Pennsylvania, founded by the English, become a colony of aliens who will shortly be so numerous as to Germanize us instead of us Anglifying them, and will never adopt our language or customs anymore? They can acquire our complexion.
Our complexion.
Now, I don't know why they didn't build a border wall around Pennsylvania to keep the German hombres out.
I mean, any more than they can acquire our complexion?
I assume he's saying that the Germans are too pale for him.
Yeah. Colbert with Henry Louis Gates, who joins me now. Dr. Gates, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian, it's great to be back, even in the midst of this blizzard.
Indeed. So do I have this right about the trick? I mean, it looks like a show about celebrities, but then it's really about history.
Absolutely. This is a series that is my way of paying tribute to the true triumph of American democracy. And the true triumph of American democracy is the diversity of our people. And we can now measure that diversity both through genealogy and through the latest developments in genetics, through our genes. Americans are notoriously ahistorical, and I am first and foremost a teacher. That's my day job. And so I'm trying to do what I do in the classroom, but to turn television into a broader classroom. And I use well-known people as lures to attract a larger audience. And I did it, as you know, with African American Lives 1, with mm-hmm. Oprah Winfrey and Quincy Jones and Chris Tucker, and African American Lives 2 with Morgan Freeman and Tina Turner and Chris Rock. And now I've decided to do the broad swath of American ethnicity. I call it the Noah's Ark approach. I wanted to have two Arab Americans, two Jewish Americans, two Asian Americans, two Catholic Americans.
Yeah.
And the results, you tell me. You've been watching.
Well, I've already said I think it's really amazing. And I was a little skeptical going into it, I'll admit it. I thought, oh, God, all these celebrities, what do I care about their roots? But then I see how you use it to tell these stories, like that Colbert clip where he's revealing that there was anti-immigrant sentiment, even what you might call ethnic, if not racial, discrimination against Germans by English because they didn't like their complexion.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Diversity, when we say diversity, we think black and white or black, brown and white or black, yellow and white. But for Stephen Colbert, ultimate devout Roman Catholic, ultimate Irish patriot, super patriot, to find out that the oldest ancestor that we could trace, his seventh great-grandfather, born in the late 1600s in the Rhineland, was a man named Hans Diebold Liederman, who migrated to Pennsylvania in the year 1727. Mm-hmm. And a man who was a Lutheran, Stephen bursts out, he was a heretic.
That's pretty funny.
And most Americans don't know about the prejudice against immigrants. You see, we think of the prejudice against immigrants as prejudice against Mexican Americans primarily today. Mm-hmm. But that prejudice goes back to the beginnings of the 18th century with anti-German sentiment voiced right. by those of English descent.
And the particular argument that was reflected in that reading, basically that Germans are unassimilable, mm-hmm. rings so true. My favorite from this week was the juxtaposition of Meryl Streep's ancestors, including people who massacred Indians, and Louise Erdrich's, and she is of Native American descent, being victims of that kind of thing. Here is Erdrich from your show talking about a river that was basically stolen from them through an intimidating land deal by white American settlers. And she reads here from a speech made by a chief at the signing over of Native lands at the time.
Ever since I can remember, and perhaps since the world was made, the river has given me sustenance. You say that the land is not of much value to us. It is of great value to us. That river furnished me a living. I drank its water. The beasts that engendered on its shore gave me clothing that I wore. You say it was of no value to us. It is there we used to get everything we had.
It's so amazing to watch these shows unfold, Dr. Gates, and the connections, and I really like that technique on this week's show, because first you told each of their individual stories, and then you came back and revisited in a way that drew some connections, like between Erdrich and Streep. And you do the genealogical research and spring it on them to their amazement. And I want to ask you about that. Mm-hmm. How did it come about? I mean, it's like you told Yo-Yo Ma that you could trace his family back to 14th century China. He had no idea.
He had no idea. You know what, Brian? How far can you trace your ancestors right now?
Well, only a couple of generations, because they were all Jews from Eastern Europe. And on my father's side, many, many were wiped out in the Holocaust. On my mother's side, they came from parts of Poland where there are no records to this day, you know, because of that, even though they came before the Holocaust, after the pogroms and stuff. We don't believe there are records.
Well, that's why the reason I did this series was because after the success of African American Lives, a woman, thousands of people wrote to me, mostly they were black people, saying, how do I have my Kunta Kinte moment and find out what ethnic group I'm from in Africa? But I got a letter from a woman who was of Russian Jewish extraction. And she said, why should black people have all the fun? Why don't you expand this and make it a series about people like me? And I thought about that. And so Mike Nichols was a friend of mine. And it turns out that Mike is German Jewish on one side and Russian Jewish on the other. And I called our chief genealogist is a woman in Provo, Utah, called Johnny Cerny. And I said, well, I'm thinking about doing the series and changing the brand a bit, and I'd like to do some Jewish people. And she said, oh, my goodness, you know, if you do a Jewish person, do a German Jewish person, because they have good records. But Eastern European Jewish people and Russian Jews, they're like black people in slavery. They didn't even have surnames.
Right. So will you do this for me? Will you go to Poland and dig up my ancestors and come back?
I will be happy to. But, you know, with Mike Nichols' family on his Russian Jewish side, we were incredibly able to find many, many records to the early 19th century, including the Dissler family, who were gold miners and very, very successful, because the Russians mined these gold mines in Siberia and thought that they were depleted. So they said, okay, you Jews can mine these. And it turned out that the Distler father and sons were mining 3 tons of gold a year. So records, in some cases, you're right, they don't exist, but in other cases, they do. But I decided that I was going to take this on. In fact, we thought that we had 2 Jewish people in the series. We had Mike Nichols, who, as I said, was born in Germany, Jewish family, and migrated in the late 30s, and Meryl Streep. Now, Streep means stripe in Dutch, and Meryl had been told that by a genealogist that he was sure that she was of Dutch Jewish extraction. But it turns out that she's not. That Meryl Streep's 8th great-grandfather, Johann Jakob Streep, was born in 1607 in a place called Lufenau, Germany. We also found out, going back to the idea of European ethnic diversity, that her 8th great-grandfather on another side was English Lawrence Wilkinson, who's one of the founding fathers of Rhode Island.
Right.
And another side, the Crispins, were founding fathers of Pennsylvania.
And she didn't know that she had founding fathers in her background, and the amazement was palpable on her face. And that's the last thing I want to ask you about this, because we will run out of time. And that is, you ask each of them, when you reveal something like they were descended from a founding father, how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them seem to know what to say because they just learned these things 4 seconds ago. So how do you think that learning genealogy does affect people's sense of themselves once they learn it and have time to digest it?
Well, the temple at Delphi in ancient Greece, you remember that, had as its motto, "Know thyself." And our next episode, the final episode on next Wednesday night, is called "Know Thyself." And the last line that I narrate that I wrote was, "I believe, know thy past, know thyself." That Mike Nichols' grandfather wrote this essay about genealogy, incredibly, in which he said that we are nothing but the sum total of all of our ancestors. And Meryl Streep says almost exactly the same thing. And as you indicated at the beginning of your comments, by knowing the particular history of our ancestry, we begin to know something about the nature and unfolding of world history. So that I'm trying to tell the larger story of the history of the world through the history of particular individuals who found themselves scattered throughout
the
world.
That's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
Before you go, indulge me in one question about something else.
I wonder what that could be.
No, maybe it won't be exactly what you think.
Okay.
Because it almost seems to me as if the biggest incident involving race during the whole Obama administration so far was you getting detained after trying to get into your home and the subsequent beer summit. And we don't have to go through all that again. But do you think that any of the big policy debates, healthcare or anything, are being informed by any racial undertones that the media isn't talking about?
I think that the most important undertone is class, the class divide in America, which disproportionately affects people of color and specifically black people. But I think Bill Clinton had an expression that a rising tide lifts all boats. Obviously, he didn't coin that particular expression. But he's right. If you create a comprehensive jobs program, that's going to disproportionately affect and help the African-American community, the Hispanic-American community, et cetera.
Sure, but in terms of the politics, in terms of the perceptions of the plan or Obama or the Tea Party movement, is any of this racial in your opinion, and we're just not talking about it?
No, I don't think that it's primarily racial. I think that there are a segment of the American right that's still in shock that a black man's the most powerful man in the world and that he is the smartest and most articulate president we've had in a very long time. But I don't see it as being explicitly about racism. I think that race has always functioned in this country as a metaphor for class. And I think that we have to have a comprehensive health care plan, and I think we have to guarantee all people the right to work and insist that they do work. And I think that many of the problems that we define as racial problems are really problems traceable to economic deprivation.
Henry Louis Gates, Harvard professor. His Faces of America concludes next Wednesday night on PBS. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. The Brian Lehrer Show continues.